1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, "Casting all your care upon Him, upon God, for He careth for you." Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. A topic I wish to bring to your attention tonight is how to handle stress biblically. How to handle stress biblically. As Peter writes this letter, he is writing to believers, those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been born again. And these believers are those who are facing tremendous stress. If you look back at the opening verses of this epistle, this letter, you will see the situation that they are dealing with. And Peter tells us as he opens up this letter, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So already a few hints that Peter is speaking to believers rather than non-believers. Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he is preaching, or rather, he is writing to those who are elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, those who are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who are blessed by God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who are recipients of God's mercy, those who have been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So then telling us that believers face stressful times too. As we continue, verse number 6, Peter says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations," or various trials, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the ends of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophet have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." And Peter is writing to those who are being persecuted. These have been scattered from their homes, scattered from their communities. They are facing the persecution of evil men and those who seek to be tyrants in the world simply because of their faith. And Peter, as a pastor, as a shepherd, is seeking to encourage them to stay strong and faithful through the difficult times. Peter is seeking to encourage them, to strengthen them in the inward man, though the circumstances around them are squeezing them and trying them. And I appreciate this about the Bible. And the Bible meets us exactly where we are. It is not a book that is far removed from our day-to-day dealings. God knows our frame. He knows that we are as dust. And God knows that we all face times of great trial. And God knows this because it is God, ultimately, who allows trials to come into our life. Often we think that trials are somehow out of the control of God. But remember the account of Job. It was God who gave Satan permission to try Job. And so it is God who is the supreme controller of everything, the one who says, yes, this person can be tried or not yet. Or, yes, this person can be tried and in this way. And God tries us for a reason. But tonight we're speaking of the subject of stress. And first, I want us to see here from this text, 1 Peter chapter 5, and from the context of the whole letter, that stress exists. We see the existence of stress. And we see that not only here in this one verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, but Peter highlights this throughout all the epistle. We saw it there in chapter 1, that they are tried in their faith, verse 7, and that they are in heaviness through manifold temptations, and you sense their burden. You sense that their hearts are weighed down because of the persecuting times that they are in. Chapter number 2, verses 21 through 24, Peter says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Verse 23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So Peter here, by the example of Christ, is telling believers, you will be reviled as Christ was reviled. You will suffer. You will be threatened. But you are to commit yourself to him that judgeth righteously. Chapter 3, verse 14, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Peter, the pastor, a loving shepherd, wants to help them to handle the stress that is around them in a God-glorifying way. We continue looking at chapter 3, verse 16. "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Peter is saying that there will be those who speak evil against you. There will be those who falsely accuse you. And isn't this reminiscent of the words of Christ on the Sermon on the Mount? "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For so they did unto the prophets that were before you." Chapter 3, verse 17, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." There were those who would receive this letter who were suffering for well-doing and not for evil-doing. Chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." What kind of trial are they dealing with? It is a fiery one. It is a heavy one. It is one that causes great stress to the life, great strain perhaps within a family. And don't be surprised as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Chapter 5, verse 7, this is our text, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And that word care can be translated into anxiety. Casting all your anxiety, casting all your problems, casting all your stress upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 9, chapter 5, speaking of the devil, "Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Afflictions can cause stress. So we see in the life of believers the existence of stress. There is no escaping stress. There is no escaping stress because we live in a fallen world with fallen people who do sinful things. And the context here is persecution. But we see as we zoom out and we take this principle from Scripture, and that the decisions of others sometimes cause stress in our life. Health concerns cause stress in our life. Financial pressures cause stress in our life. The concerns about the future can cause anxiety and stress. But we must not be surprised. As Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And why shouldn't we be surprised? Well, because Jesus never promised a stress-free life. And Jesus never promised that He came to relieve all of our stress so that we can live a life that is problem-free. Rather, Jesus told His disciples to count the cost. Jesus said, if you are to come after Me, you are to take up your cross and follow Me. And when you do that, others will hate you. But no, they are not hating you, they are hating Me within you. In the world, you will know no true peace, because the world does not abide in peace. But Jesus says, but I have come that you would know peace. I come to give peace, not as the world gives peace, so give I unto you. So we must understand that stress exists. And we must not be foolish to think that just because we are a believer, that we will not face stressful times or stressful situation. And that's why Pastor Peter here says, cast all your care, cast all your stress upon Him, for He cares for you. And then secondly, we see the remedy for stress. Okay, so stress exists. What's its remedy? Well, my title assumes that there are unbiblical ways of handling stress. My title is, How to Handle Stress Biblically. So is there an unbiblical way to handle stress? Well, sure. And things are creeping into the church, promising to relieve stress, but it is an unbiblical way. Some think that the best way to relieve stress is to grab your yoga mat and gather with the gals and somehow empty your mind and let your spirit be free. Some others think the best way to relieve stress is by putting on the boxing gloves and having at it at the gym. Some people think, well, to relieve stress, I just need to isolate myself from everyone and everything. Some people think that the way to relieve stress is by popping pills, and there is great promise in that which the doctor gives. Some people think that stress and relieving stress comes from human counseling. If only I can have somebody who would be accountable to me. If only I can have somebody to call on whenever I have a need. But listen, all these are physical in nature. Yoga, not that I'm advocating yoga tonight. Isolation, medication, human counseling, self-help books, television programs, whatever it is, all those things lie on a physical level, and they can only help on a physical level. But the Lord is a physician of that which is spiritual. The Lord is a physician of the heart. He is the physician of the soul. And that's why Peter says, cast all your care upon Him, because God is a spirit, and God helps with that which is spiritual. Cast your care upon Him, because really anxiety and anxiety's roots deal in the spiritual, not in the physical. And we often ignorantly and foolishly compartmentalize the physical and the spiritual. And we divide the physical from the spiritual. And most of the physical problems can be traced right back to the spiritual. And so Peter is giving us a spiritual cure, a spiritual remedy. And the remedy is very simple. The remedy is God Himself. See it. Casting all your care upon Him. Don't cast your care upon the church. Don't cast your care upon your religious activities. Cast your care upon Him. Don't cast your care upon a religious leader. Cast your care upon Him. Upon God, upon the Creator, the One who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-merciful, all-gracious. Cast your care upon Him, for He is our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. This is the remedy for stress. And then closely related with that is our third point, the manner in which stress is relieved. We can't just leave it there. I would be failing as a teacher if we just left it there and say, well, just cast your stress on the Lord. Well, my question is, how do we do that? Thank you, preacher, but you're leaving some points out. Well, let me give you the manner in which stress is relieved. How do we cast our care upon the Lord? In other words, what does that look like? Let me give you three things to consider. We cast our care upon the Lord through believing, through faith. And listen, we will not cast our care upon God if we do not believe correctly. If our theology is not right, our practical living will not be right. If we do not believe that God is good and willing and able to relieve us of our stress, we will not go to God for Him to relieve us of our stress. Does that make sense? So the first thing is believing that God is God and that He wants us to roll our burdens upon Him. And we see from the Word of God that He is a personal God. And we can go to Him at any time of day with any problem that we may have, and we can cast our care upon Him, for He cares about us. And we need to believe in our hearts and minds that God will receive our cares. We need to believe that God will sustain us through any storm that we may be facing. We need to first believe that God has the power to help. And many do not cast their care upon God because they do not believe. Now, we would say with our mouths, we believe. But in the actions, we're proving that we do not believe because we are not casting. And so the first way we cast our care upon God is by exercising faith in God. Believing He wants us to come to Him. Believing that He is able to lift us up and to give us power and to give us victory to walk in the Christian life. The second way we cast our care upon God is through prayer. Prayer. That is pouring out our souls before God, rolling our burdens onto Him. And Peter has emphasized prayer several times in this epistle. Before he comes to this verse 7 of chapter 5, he has already emphasized prayer three different times. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Peter does not want the prayers of God's people to be hindered because he wants them to be able to go to God in casting their cares upon the Lord. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I forgot verse 12 of chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. You see what Peter is doing here. He's fixing their theology. He's saying, know that God is a prayer-hearing God. And being a prayer-hearing God, He is able to receive all of your cares, all your anxieties. And the faith of the Lord is against them that do evil. And we need the attitude of Martin Luther. And Luther said, pray and let God worry. When we are faced with stress, when we're faced with concern and worry, how do we cast it on the Lord? Well, we pray. And in prayer, when we truly pray and cast it to the Lord, we pray and let God worry about it. He's God. And we don't have to worry about it because God has promised us if we go to Him in prayer, He will come to our aid. And that's where the author of Hebrews says, let us come boldly into the throne of grace so that we might find help and mercy in our time of need. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, give thanks. And let your requests be made known unto God. We cast our care upon the Lord by believing. We cast our care upon the Lord through prayer, and then we cast our care upon God through submission. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let him that suffer, here he is talking to people who are facing stress, let them that suffer according to the will of God do what? Commit the keeping of their souls to him in what? Well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. In other words, the words of the song, we need to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we obey the Lord's words, that is evidence that we are casting our care upon him, even though we are pressed by the circumstances around us. Casting your care upon the Lord, honoring the church, honoring the Lord's day, honoring the preaching of the Word of God, even when we don't feel like it. Even though we've been beat up the week before, beat up by the devil, beat up by our flesh, persecuted at work, we come seeking to be faithful, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of such is, but honoring the Lord and staying faithful and true to the local church. And we cast our care upon God, saying, God, this is the means by which you have ordained, that you have put in your word. And though I don't understand it completely, I am going to honor your way. We cast our care upon the Lord by submitting and doing good, by seeking to do his will, continuing to be faithful through our difficulties. I want you to see that this promise that Peter gives is not a promise that stress will be removed. Even still, some Christians think, well, if I follow A, B, and C, then for sure my stress is all going to go away. Well, no, that's the prosperity gospel that we hear so often in our day. If you serve God, God will make your life like the whipped cream and the cherry on top. But if you read the scriptures, you will find men and women who endured great trials. Hebrews chapter 11, the men and women of faith were those who suffered greatly. But they persevered. And they could only persevere because God helped them to persevere. They cast their care upon the Lord, and God came to their aid. So Peter doesn't promise a stress-free life. He doesn't promise that stress will be removed. He promises that God will be with them through their stressful situations. And notice here also the illustration of Peter. Let's zoom out from the context. Who is Peter? Peter is a disciple. But Peter, before he was a disciple, was a fisherman. And still has a very a deep passion for fishing. And so he uses this in a fishing term. He says, casting all your care upon him. In other words, Peter the fisherman says, just like a fisherman would take his net and throw it outside of the boat. So cast all of your care, all of your anxiety, cast it completely on the Lord. Don't do one of these. Well, it's on the Lord. Sometimes we can justify, well, we've got a hand on it still. Oh, but I'm spiritual. I cast it on the Lord. No, let it go. Casting all of your care upon the Lord. And this can be a very difficult thing, can't it? And sometimes we don't cast it all on the Lord because we think we can handle it. We think we're strong enough. Again, we would never say it, but we think we are wise and we can figure things out on our own. I always enjoy when my children are toddlers and they learn to put on their jacket for the first time. And they struggle putting one arm through the jacket, through the armhole, and then somehow it gets twisted up, and then they try to do the other, and they do a little dance, and they jiggle around for a few moments, and then they get frustrated, then their face turns red, and then they flop on the ground like a fish. And I'm standing 2 feet away. They take the jacket off and then they try it again. Then sometimes it ends up backwards, hood over face. I'm standing 2 feet away. And after a while of watching and thinking about my relationship with the Lord, I say, do you want help with that? And I know exactly how to help. And I can take their jacket and put it on them exactly how it's supposed to go. And sometimes we're like the children. Well, let us figure this out, God. Let me try this. And then we make a mess of things. And then when we finally submit and cast all of our care to the Lord, it's then we think, I should have done that a long time ago. I could have saved myself from a lot of added stress. Cast it all on the Lord. And when you're presented with a new stressful situation, cast it before the Lord. Then we see the reason. Peter gives us the reason why we can cast our care upon God. Peter says, casting all your care upon Him. Oh, if Peter stopped there, he would have left a great deal out. Cast all your care upon Him. Well, why, Peter? What should motivate us to do so? For He careth for you. Sometimes in our life, we will say, well, it doesn't feel like He cares. But we don't base our faith on our feelings. We base our faith on what the truth of God's Word says. And God's Word says that Jesus Christ cares for us. God's Word says that God is a loving, merciful Father who loves to come to the aid of His children. Truth does not rely on feelings or what we see. All around us, it may seem that God is against us, and we may be like the psalmist. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Where are you, God? God, you have forsaken me. Don't forsake me utterly, O Lord. And we pray, and it seems that God has given us over unto Satan, unto the world, unto ourselves. But God is there. God knows and God cares. And how do we know God cares? Well, because God has told us in His Word. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God each and every day. Some people see that, well, God's Word is just a book of harsh rules and regulation. Oh, no, my friends. God's Word is a book of comfort. It's a word of encouragement. When you're downcast in spirit, when you are confronted with stresses and strains and anxieties, we go to the Word of God and say, wow, look, God helped this individual. God helped this individual. Look at God and how He arranged circumstances. He cares, and He cares for me. How do we know God cares? How is it we can cast our care upon Him? Well, He's told us, and so we believe it. God not only has told us, God has showed us. Consider your life for a moment. How do we know God cares? Well, consider all the times that God has provided for you. Consider all those times God has protected you. Consider all the answered prayers in the past. Consider all the blessings that God has blessed you with, blessings of family and blessings of friends, blessings of grace and grace upon grace. As we look at our life, and again, often we're tempted to look at that which is negative. We focus on that which is hard, but we look back, and even through the hard times, God never left us nor forsook us. He has been a faithful friend through it all. And so God has demonstrated that He has cared for us. And the ultimate demonstration is by considering the cross. How do we know that God cares? Well, we look to Calvary. We look to the cross. And God has showed us there that He cares. The cross is the greatest manifestation of God's care for mankind. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth, God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The atheists say, how do you know God is there? How do you know God loves me? And our response is, look to the cross. God so loved the world that He gave. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The cross. Jesus dying for our sins. Jesus giving us the hope of forgiveness is the manifestation that God cares. When we are doubtful, when we are in the battle, when we are facing deep stress and we begin to wonder if God cares, visit the cross. Visit the cross in your mind. Visit the cross in the Scriptures and remember that Christ did that for you. Sometimes we generalize it, well, Christ did this for others. But we need to remember that Christ did this for us. And Isaac Watts wrote, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" Why does God allow stress into our life? Well, God allows stress not to break us, but to build us. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, He's a gracious God, even through times of stress. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So God's purpose through the fires are to refine. And Job says, though He try me, I shall come forth as gold. In Romans 8:29, God is making us more Christ-like, conforming us into the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes the most dangerous prayer can be, God, make me more like Christ. Because as we are reading in John, in the Gospel of John, and Jesus endured much persecution. And if we want to be Christ-like, we will be faithful in the midst of our persecution. So we have here an invitation tonight, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And let me say this, what other God offers such an invitation? What other God offers such comfort to His followers? The Greek gods, do they offer comfort like this, casting all your care upon me? Does Allah and the Prophet Muhammad offer comfort like this, that all the followers of Allah and Muhammad would know the peace of God that passes all understanding? Does Buddha offer comfort like this? Is Buddha a personal God who comes to the aid of His followers? The answer is no. All those are dead gods. They are no gods at all, and they offer no comfort. They have eyes, they see not. They have ears, they hear not. They are dead. But we are children of the true and living God, the God of all comfort, who loves His children and who desires to comfort His children through all anxiety and through all stress. I hear the buzzer. That must mean my time is done. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God, our comfort, our strength, our counsel. Lord, You know our hearts. You know what we have dealt with recently. You know what we are dealing with now. And You know what is beyond us. You know what lies even in this week. We may not know, and there may be something great that may shake us and trouble us. But Father, if it be so, help us to cast our care upon You, having the deep knowledge of the Bible that You care for us. You do not leave us nor forsake us. You have promised to be with us even unto the end of the world. And so Your presence casts away all of our fears. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because You are already there. You are a friend, a faithful friend, a friend that is true and just, holy and good. And help us, Lord, to walk with you in a more intimate way so that we might live as Peter desires us to live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.